There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Ash Wednesday. Can I add in the new cut? I've got a new Governor Ivey cut. This is fresh. Fresh from the State of the State address from Governor Ivey and...
In our 20 years of statehood, the men and women of Alabama have always stepped forward when our nation called.
Can we go... Can you play the cut again? From the top, yeah.
In our 20 years of statehood...
20 years? 20 years? Now, maybe it was 200 years, because, you know, it's the bicentennial for the state of Alabama. That's something they're celebrating right now. Maybe that's what led to...
In our 20 years of statehood...
So I think we've been doing it longer than 20 years. But yes, Governor Ivey last night, State of the State address, and we will get into that, play some cuts from it, also get your calls and text and discuss gas tax, because special session has been called. It is the special. And in this special session, one thing to be addressed, and that is the gas tax increase. And by the way, too, I mentioned it this morning, we're taking this show on the road as of tomorrow. We'll be in Montgomery tomorrow and on Friday with Midday Mobile, talking to our local representatives and senators, also getting some of the folks, hopefully, at the head of the Senate and the House to talk with us as well as we discuss this big push in a special session for the gas tax increase. But, you know, before they could even get things locked down for the special here. I see a story from, because there was the one bill that was discussed, and that was what they're going to go through. That, of course, they go to the House first, has to do about three readings in the House, and then goes to the Senate, and then goes to the governor, right? So it's a 5-day to 6-day process at the quickest. And then I saw a story from Alabama Daily News said, now a new part coming into the bill. So, story from Mary Sell and Carolyn Beck with Alabama Daily News said proposed gas tax legislation is being revised to reduce and clarify fees on electric and hybrid vehicles, according to environmental groups. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But yeah, what to do about electric cars on the road and how do they pay their share of the revenue needed to keep the roads up in the state of Alabama. That is the discussion. And when we come back, we'll get right into it with the State of the State address. And we edited it down about 32 minutes. But yeah, about 32 minutes. We edited it down to the parts talking about the gas tax. So we'll get those aired here in just a second. All right, and then get your reaction later this hour. Coming up in hour number two, Mardi Gras recap with Steve Joint from the Mobile Mask. Plus, there's a series of meetings coming for anglers along the Gulf Coast for proposed changes to regulation, not just talking about red snapper, but also speckled trout and flounder in the mix. Alabama Marine Resources Director Scott Bannon joins us at 1:30 to talk about that and how you can come out and have your voice heard. So we'll talk about that at 1:30. So that's all coming up next hour. And I got to tell y'all one more time, maybe not one more time, maybe I'll tell you 10 more times, but thank you for all the generous donations you made to the families of the Fallen Float that rolled at the front of the floral parade on Saturday. Talked again just a couple days ago with folks from that 501c3 charity helping out the families of police officers, law enforcement that have been killed in the line of duty. They said the folks that climbed on the float to ride on Saturday, those families of those officers did indeed have to climb over the throws to get in their places. So they were loaded up with throws, and that is all because of y'all. And I appreciate it so very, very much. It means so much to me. I knew y'all would do it, but just great audience. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great bunch of, it's just a family around here, and y'all are awesome. And I continue to say thank you because it was well received. And we'll talk more about this next year. They'll do another float and have those families back on it. But that's a discussion for a little less than a year from now. All right. Also going on today, Alabama Broadcasters Association are doing a telethon to raise money for the American Red Cross working there in the area about, around Beauregard, where the tornado damage is so extensive. We'll talk about this coming up a little bit. Our news partners at WKRG are doing a telethon today. We have the phone number up. You can also go to our website to get this if you don't have a chance to write it down. But the phone number, 662-3047. 662-3047. That's the number that gets you through to the phone bank there at WKRG, where they're taking your donations for the American Red Cross. Once again, 100% of your donations go towards disaster relief and recovery efforts here in Alabama. One more time here, the phone number, but you can get it through our website as well, 662-3047. All right, coming right back, we'll get into the State of the State address, at least the portions dealing with the gas tax and a couple other issues that Governor Ivey rolled out last night. And reminder, so we are heading to Montgomery tomorrow. So if you've got specific questions, I have a quite a big list here of senators, legislators, House members that will be on with me over the next couple of days. And if you have a specific question about the gas tax, about how the votes are going to go down, text that to us at 343-0106, and I can put it in my list of questions for those members of the legislature when I see them coming up tomorrow. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:15, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style, Ash Wednesday. And show goes to Montgomery. I'm up there tomorrow and Friday. We will be talking gas tax, and we'll be talking with members of the local delegation, plus maybe some of the heads of the Senate and the House, and those people, what they say, carrying the bill up in Montgomery. We'll get into that a little bit more here and get some cuts from last night's State of the State address from Governor Ivey and get your reaction as well. But I mentioned our news partners at WKRG, along with all of us that are members of the Alabama Broadcasters Association, working on this telethon today with the American Red Cross. And Katerina Lukatich over at News 5 is in the phone bank there, right?
Yeah, that's right. We have a phone bank, and it is going great, Sean. We have raised over $8,000 already for the American Red Cross.
Yes.
Over 100 people have called in to pledge the money this morning.
That is great. So this is money that's going to help those families there in the Beauregard community in Lee County.
Yeah, so the money that we're raising is going to the American Red Cross, and the Red Cross is using that money because they are the ones on the grounds there. They are setting up temporary shelters for those who need housing, whose homes were wiped out. They're feeding those people, and they're providing those people with clothing. A lot of people who lost their homes don't have any clothes left. So that's what the American Red Cross is doing there. And so all of the money that we raise is going to help them do that, as well as clean up once we get to that part where, you know, lots start to need to be getting cleared there.
That's for sure. All right. Somebody listening to us right now, they want to help. They want to be part of this. Give us a phone number. How do we give?
The phone number is 251-662-3047. You can also text Red Cross 90999. That'll automatically donate $10 to the Red Cross and add that to your next phone bill. So those are the two ways to do it. But again, our phone bank, if you want to call as part of our telethon, that phone number is 251-662-3047.
All right, Katerina, thank you for what y'all are doing over there. And keep us in the loop here on how much money gets raised today.
Will do. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Katerina Lukatich checking in from News 5. That's where they have the phone bank raising money for those folks that suffered so much over in Lee County. All right. Last night's State of the State address, about 32 minutes. We've cut it down here to some of the meatier parts, other than the 20 years of statehood part from Governor Ivey. Let's get into it as a discussion of infrastructure needs and how the state would pay for them. Let's get to it. Here's cut one.
And Gina, thank you so much. And more importantly, our efforts are giving more of Alabama's children a strong start. Last year, we increased funding by $18.5 million in first-class pre-K, which is the largest single-year increase ever approved. And because of that historic investment, 107 new first-class pre-K classrooms were added last fall, which led Alabama to officially break the 1,000 classroom mark. And additionally, our P-3 pilot program aimed at building upon the gains made in pre-K grew by 75 classrooms this school year. As we anticipate the rising demand of the computer science field, we are continuing our efforts to enhance computer science education in Alabama. Last year, I signed legislation establishing the Alabama School of Cyber Technology and Engineering. We also secured additional funding to create the Alabama Math and Science Teacher Education Program, which provides a better pathway to certify future computer science teachers. Today in Alabama, women and minorities make up well over half of the population, yet they are underrepresented in the STEM professions. Tonight, I am pleased to have with us a young woman who is the face of changing this disparity, specifically in the area of computer science. Arrington Harper is currently a senior at the Alabama School of Fine Arts in Birmingham. In her ninth grade year, she had her very first computer science class. And since then, Arrington has excelled. She is a recipient of the Aspirations in Computer Science Award for Alabama. She is an advocate for computer science education and girls in computer science. She wants to use her passion to help address the gender and race gaps that exist in computer science education. Arrington has spoken to numerous groups of parents and educators and was invited by the National Center for Women in IT to share her experiences at large. She plans to major in computer science in college. Now, Arrington represents my vision for education in our state. It was in a classroom where she discovered her niche. And through the guidance of her dedicated teachers and her own hard work, this young lady is headed into a very promising future. Arrington, please stand and let us recognize you. Arrington, we are mighty proud of you, and we thank you so much and appreciate your grandmama, Ms. Cooper, being with you tonight. Equipping our students with the proper skills and education to fill high-demand jobs is essential to ensure their strong finish. Part of my mission for the state is to carve a path for our students to enter the workforce, and so that they'll enter the workforce with highly skilled and well-equipped. To further our efforts, I'm asking the legislature to fund our new co-op program for the Alabama Historically Black Colleges and Universities. This program is geared specifically toward Alabama's HBCU students interested in pursuing careers in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields. Now, it's not only a win for these students, it's a win for the colleges and universities, and it's a win for our employers, who are gaining qualified individuals to strengthen the work of their company. Each year, as you know, the uses of the internet intensify in dynamic ways. Delivering high-speed broadband access is absolutely necessary. Last year, through the Alabama Broadband Accessibility Act, we connected broadband in 7 counties. One notable example is in Choctaw County. Within the next 2 years, more than 700 residences and businesses will have access to high-speed internet service. Thanks to this grant program, living in rural Alabama does not mean being cut out. This is a major step for education, for economic prosperity, and for the entire state of Alabama. In our efforts to meet the current and future needs of business and industry, I have established the Governor's Office of Education and Workforce Transformation. The focus will solely be on aligning our workforce development funding streams to create the most effective workforce development programs for Alabamians across the state. Since we met last year, I have been ambitious in our efforts to improve Alabama's education system, and we are now on our way to providing all students a quality education. Each of us has our own story to tell. My own story began in the public schools of rural Wilcox County, Alabama. I graduated from high school in a class that had 35 students. My surroundings at Auburn University would look a whole lot different. Instead of a class of 35, I would be in a class of the university of more than 12,000. My Wilcox County upbringing would be put side by side with some of the smartest young people from bigger schools and larger cities. However, I just wouldn't let these challenges hinder me from achieving success. So in the summer, before my first semester, I spent a full week on campus to walk the grounds to know exactly where my classes would be located and also to try out for the Auburn University Marching Band. Ben Franklin said it best, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. I worked hard and planned for success, and my journey from Wilcox County also brought me to where I stand this evening. And despite the heavy challenges that lie ahead, we in Alabama must plan for success. And part of that planning for that success is ensuring that we have a robust economy and ample public safety. Now, we can help tackle both of these issues with a reasonable increase in the investment we make in our state's infrastructure system. Almost three decades have gone by, and Alabama has not made one change to our infrastructure funding. While our neighboring states are increasing their revenue for their transportation budgets, Alabama has not. Folks, we are dead last. And certainly motorists experiencing firsthand the poor conditions of Alabama's infrastructure is a problem. Each year in Alabama, 69 billion miles are driven on our roadways. We have urban roads in poor condition. Our drivers are experiencing major congestion on our freeways. County governments currently operate on a 56-year resurfacing schedule, when in fact, we should be operating on a 15-year rate. In Alabama, half of over our 16,000 bridges are older than their 50-year lifespan. Bridges should be replaced every 50 years. Yet county governments are on a schedule to replace their bridges every 186 years. Folks, that's almost as long as Alabama's been a state. From 2015 to 2017, Alabama saw nearly 3,000 traffic fatalities, and one-third of those were due to deficiencies in our roadways. Each year, $436 billion in goods are shipped to and from businesses using our state's roadways. The Port of Mobile, Alabama's only deep water port, moves approximately 64 million tons of cargo each year. Deepening and widening the port will increase Alabama's capability. And this will enhance our status as a primary industrial and agricultural hub in the Southeast. Driving on these rough roads costs the average Alabamian $507 annually in additional vehicle maintenance. And that's a total of $2 billion statewide each year. That is why we are proposing a 10-cent increase in Alabama's fuel tax. This increase will be implemented over the next 3 years. And I want to be crystal clear with you. This money will be scrutinized and watched over every single penny. There will be strong accountability measures to make sure that these monies are spent solely on transportation infrastructure, period. Leading the charge in the legislature on this issue is Representative Bill Poole. He, along with Senator Clyde Chambliss, will guide this legislation over the coming weeks. And I indeed thank both of them for their dedicated leadership and willingness to lead this opportunity.
All right, we'll get back to more of the governor's address and now into the meat of the infrastructure push here and the gas tax, as it's known, that is called into effect a special session now in Montgomery. Meaning a couple things. Regular session, they gaveled into regular session, gaveled out, went into special. Now the only subject that the legislature is dealing with is this gas tax question. I got 2 weeks to do it or not do it. It's a two-week window. This special session is got everybody, at least the people I've talked to, they're planning to stay at least through Saturday because they got to, I guess, make hotel reservations and all that. They're staying through Saturday at least. Probably will bounce out of this week. They don't go to work on Sunday, but they will be back there, I bet you, Monday. House has to do their part of it. They've got to do three readings. The Senate has to do the same. And then, of course, it goes to the governor if something comes out for her signature. There's a lot of moving parts here, and we also will get into a little bit of the maybe we'll hold this over till next hour, a discussion of the new wrinkle in the hybrid and electric vehicle portion of it. I think that's a red herring right now. Not saying it's not important, but I know a lot of hubbub was made about it over the weekend. You can get to that point. I think that's the easiest part of this. The question is, will Alabamians, will their representatives, will their senators vote to increase 10 cents in gas tax? Last gas tax increase was in 1992. Is it a question of whether we need the money right now? Is it a question of whether we trust state government or not? It's one of the big questions. We'll talk about it. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The governor, he's trying to lose my man, lift the midnight special, shine a light on me, let the midnight special, shine a heaven of light on me.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5, and get right back to it. From the State of the State address last night, Governor Kay Ivey making this push for the gas tax increase.
Additionally, I have listened to leaders making some good points about money being diverted from the Alabama Department of Transportation to supplement our court system and the law enforcement agency every year. I believe that we should begin to unwind this outdated approach. And in fact, the budgets I am presenting will cut this annual transfer in half without hurting the court system or our hardworking state law enforcement officers. A renewed investment in infrastructure will lead to safer roads, economic prosperity, and an enhanced quality of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I am willing to call you, the members of the Alabama legislature, into a special session if necessary to focus solely on passing this critical legislation. It's time to make our crumbling infrastructure system a problem of our past. This is a challenge that is felt by every Alabamian, clearly making this issue a bipartisan issue. And as governor, I say enough is enough. Now is the time to rebuild Alabama. Another problem that has gone unaddressed for years and years is that of the horrendous conditions of our prisons. Our next step, however, must be to address the issue of understaffing to improve our recruiting and retention efforts. Alabama is currently under a federal court order requiring the state to roughly double the number of corrections officers over the next 2 years. And if we fail to resolve this apparent issue of understaffing in our prisons, federal courts will dictate what needs to happen in our own state. And I am proposing that we include an additional $31 million in the general fund budget. This will allow us to hire 500 new correctional officers and increase the pay scale for all prison security personnel to make their salary competitive. Folks, this is an Alabama problem that must have an Alabama solution. And as we move forward, we must continue to wisely use our funds. I'm proud that the general fund budget I'm proposing will do just that. As a positive sign of that progress, Medicaid, under the capable leadership of Commissioner Stephanie Azar, will require $40 million less in 2020 than compared to 2019. The Medicaid program in Alabama is driving efficiency while being prudent with our taxpayers' dollars. I'm also proposing an additional $7 million to fund important mental health programs in our state. And as governor, I will do everything in my power to make Alabama safer, which is why my general fund budget includes funding to hire and train 50 additional state troopers. I have also included in my budget a 2% pay raise for all state employees. These men and women went too long without merit raises, and with the increase last year and the additional increase this year, we are making it right.
All right, so a little bit of the governor of state of the state address last night. The key portion there to the special session discussion is this push for raising the gas tax. I told you there's a little bit of little changes today, a little discussion here of the fee on electric cars. A story from AL Daily News, Alabama Daily News says proposed gas tax legislation being revised to reduce and clarify fees on electric and hybrid vehicles. Bill's sponsor confirmed changes are being made to the legislation. Changes will lower the proposed fee on electric vehicles and limit fees to only plug-in hybrid vehicles or battery electric vehicles. The original $250 annual fee on electric cars would have been the highest in the nation. Also, any hybrid, including those using gasoline, would have been subjected to a $125 fee. Representative Bill Poole is sponsoring, he's carrying, as they call it, Governor Kay Ivey's infrastructure proposal. Poole would not confirm the specifics, but told Alabama Daily News revisions were being made to the bill to address concerns raised about electric and hybrid portions of the proposal. Poole said there were some legitimate issues raised. I think some of those comments have merit, and we're trying to make some changes to reflect some good points that have been raised. End quote. Legislation had already been released by the governor's office and filed in the House, but a new bill is being filed today in that special session. right? So that's it goes into some more detail, but that was the one kind of wrinkle to this today that had people talking. All right, we'll talk to you as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. Reminder, this show going to Montgomery tomorrow. So if you've got specific questions you want to have addressed, we'll bring those up. Speaking of this, let me go back to this one. Because I've gotten this question a bunch, and Steve, you're like a lot of folks here. Steve said, how much is the state of Alabama contributing to the I-10 River Bridge project? I've searched for the information online, but have not found it. Okay. And what I want to do is disambiguate, because at least the way I've been told, this discussion for the gas tax increase, this money would not be money that would be going to the I-10 River Bridge project. The state of Alabama, the match is at 80-20, federal to state. But on the state side, if you remember, this private concessionaire, this is where the discussion of the tolling has come in. The private concessionaire is coming in to carry the freight, and then we pay it back through the tolls. So that was the, that's why they're saying there has to be tolls. This is the only way the bridge project gets done. And I know because we're talking about a couple different things that are talking about bridges or roads, people are saying, oh, well, this gas tax discussion is about the Mobile River Bridge project. It's not. It is a different discussion. I will say this, that it is a discussion of something that's crossed by that bridge, the Mobile River and the port. Part of the funding that would come from the gas tax, if this is passed, would come back to help fund the deepening and widening of the turnaround basin and some improvements to the Alabama State docks to get ready for these bigger tankers that are now able to come through the Panama Canal, because that has been widened, it's been deepened, and now we could get those tankers in here, more of those coming in to our port. So that's part of this discussion. And we're trying. I talked to some folks with the port today. They said expect a press conference coming up tomorrow. Don't know exact time. As soon as I get that, I'll let you know where they will discuss more about this. But that is part of this proposed gas tax increase, where the funding would go. Coming right back, we'll talk more about this at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1248 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Reading through some of these texts here. Mike. Is that meme being shared elsewhere? Mike sends this to the text line. If this Alabama gas tax bill passes, we should fill up our cars in Florida while we're buying our lottery tickets. Probably, even if it passes, that wouldn't be the best choice, right? Because the gas tax is 41.36 cents a gallon in Florida. So even if it comes up by 10 cents in Alabama, makes it 30.91 cents a gallon. So it would put us ahead of Mississippi's gas tax, but still with a 10 cent increase, we would be below Georgia's gas tax. We would be then above Tennessee. So Tennessee is at 26.40 cents per gallon, Mississippi 18.79 cents per gallon. Let me point out, though, Mississippi, just to keep things fair, they got vehicle inspections, right? And they get revenue from that, too. I think that goes to roadway. So Tennessee, if we go to the 30.91 cents per gallon, Alabama will be higher than Mississippi and Tennessee, less than Florida and Georgia. And what's Louisiana? 20. Yeah, so Louisiana is 20 cents a gallon, 20.01 cents a gallon. So yeah, so if you still go buy your lottery tickets, I get your joke there. But yeah, don't fill up there, because you're, even if the increase passes through, it's still going to be more expensive in Florida. All right, we'll get some phone calls here. And a couple of people are asking questions about the No New Tax Pledge and all that. And I'm going to try to link this through on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, something addressed by former State Senator Bill Hightower in an op-ed he wrote for AL.com. That's been, you know, I've got to tell you this. If you don't think we have work to do on the roads in Alabama, I think you need to look around a little more. We do. Not just like potholes and making sure bridges don't collapse. That's kind of big. But also roadway expansions, traffic patterns, those kind of things. We have issues in the state. Is a gas tax a legitimate way to raise that revenue? Because there's the whole other discussion, is ALDOT using the money correctly? And I hear you on that. But if you look at a tax mechanism to raise money to work on roads, one that's a user-based one at least doesn't bother me as much as one where it would come out of some other aspect of government. My issue right now, and one of the issues I'm going to talk about with representatives when I'm in Montgomery tomorrow and Friday, is this idea you call a special session, right? And in the special session, you don't have to have any budget isolation resolution issue. You don't have to have a three-fifths vote. You can do simple majority. It seems like this is being pushed through before somebody can say no. And is that exactly how the legislative process is supposed to work? Let's go to the phones and we'll talk about that. Robert in Mobile is first up. Hey, man.
How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. So,
I got a couple little points I want to make out to you. Is that, first of all, you know, this idea of a gas tax, it's really, you know, gained traction, and several different states are calling it different things for different reasons. One of the reasons that was brought on up is that more and more people are going to eco-friendly automobiles, electric automobiles, hybrid automobiles,
right.
Flex automobiles.
Right. Like
they
we talked about,
less
yeah,
and less gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And as they buy less and less gasoline, of course, the tax revenue drops, proportionately.
Right. Yeah. We discussed that.
Hey, look, if we need to tax these people more, just from the mere fact because they're not, you know, using up enough of the gasoline. Our tax revenue has dried up. And I don't care what they want to call it, it gained traction in different states, and now it's spreading like wildfire.
Well, okay, but you know, the point hold
I
on.
To bring on up is that
Robert,
where's the $1 billion that BP paid us, and what have they done with it?
Oh, listen, they use it to patch the holes like they always do. We've the state legislature has gotten lucky three or four times. But let me go back to your first thing so you make sure we're talking about apples and apples. There is a we just had the story. I just read it about 8 minutes ago from Alabama Daily News that the big thing right now in Montgomery in the special is a change to the gas tax legislation because they're actually reducing some of the fees that were going to be part of this electric vehicle thing. Originally, it was a $250 in the bill as presented, it was going to be a $250 annual fee on electric cars. And a bunch of people were all over that over the weekend and early this week. I say weekend, it seemed like it, because of Mardi Gras. People were upset with a $250 fee because it would be the highest in the nation on electric cars. $250 on full electric, $125 on hybrids. In other words, you pay at the beginning of the year. You know, and so they've brought those fees down a little bit, but it has definitely been addressed in this bill dealing with electric vehicles. You know, the other issue is not just the electric vehicles. The vehicles on the roadways now get better gas mileage. I mean, my truck, we drive trucks and SUVs in my family, and I'll tell you right now, the trucks and SUVs we're driving now get better gas mileage than they did just 10 years ago. I mean, it's just a fact. So, you know, more miles traveled, less gas burned. But people don't trust, Robert, I mean, people don't trust the state to use the money properly. They don't trust ALDOT. Do you?
No, not at all.
So
like,
that's a problem.
Watch the watchers.
That's a problem,
like
though.
A kid in the candy store. They can't control themselves. The more money they get in the general fund, the more money they want to spend. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. It's just human nature. The more you got, the more you use.
So what do you do? Because at that point, it's like so many discussions we have, it's like the citizens are not even really worried about, you know, let's give revenue to this or that. They're worried about the revenue being wasted. It's almost like a vote of no confidence in government more than it is a discussion of a specific, in this case, tax increase.
Well, I could get into our last election, and I can ask anybody, why in the heck did you vote for Ivy? But that's not the crux of this conversation. The conversation is going to lead, what are we going to do? How can we control this?
There we go.
You got to have somebody watching the watchers. You have to have people responsible and accountable for what they do. Who do you choose to do that?
That's a tough question, Robert. That's the hard one because then
you say,
who's going to watch the person who's watching the person? Appreciate the call. Thank you, man. One of the questions here is going to be, and I go back to what I said, my issue, and I'm going to ask members of the legislature that I talk to in the next couple of days, more about this is coming up in a special session. Right, and there are certain advantages if you're trying to get legislation through that the special session affords. And is that because, like, I feel that they're losing support for the tax increase? And then if you do this, I mean, this is the tough question, because if you think it's, if you're a member of the legislature and you say, we got to do this, we got to get this done. But when you call a special, I can turn around and play devil's advocate and say, well, is that truly the will of the people? Are you trying to do something in a special by the governor calling a special to try to avoid a no, right? It's like, you know, well, if I ask mom and dad real fast if I can go to Timmy's to spend the night, you know, if I don't let them think about it a long time, maybe they'll say yes and I can get a green light before they start contemplating that Timmy's a ne'er-do-well and they don't let me go to his house. Thomas is in Theodore up next. Hey, Thomas.
Happiest Wednesday in Lent, Sean.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
Hope you had a good Mardi Gras.
Had a fantastic Mardi Gras, which, by the way, we're going to talk about in just a second, because Steve Joint joins us here after 1 o'clock.
Okay. So what did you want to say to me? I'm sorry, I was yawning.
What you got, Thomas?
Say, listen. Okay. I think what you need, this is like an omnibus bill that the Republicans like to pass.
It's not an omnibus bill. Wait. I disagree. It's not. How is it omnibus?
The conservatives of the Republican Party are going to push this thing through. We should identify the projects first. Okay? And people, engineers.
What about projects that haven't come up yet? What about years going forward?
Identify these, all 67 counties. Not to just get the money and say, well, I think that bridge. You know, when Mike Dow's government was paved the same year, election year, at every 4 years, from Pine Hill down to Tillman's Corner, every 4 years that was paved. But I want to know why we're not voting, John. How many people can't vote on this?
Well, that's the question. It's a republic.
How is this affecting the industry, service industries, increasing in their gas, the plumbers and electricians?
Okay, but Thomas,
to try to fix my old house.
Thomas, first of all, it's a republic, so you don't vote on every single thing. That would be, I mean, that's why you vote on representatives. If you don't like that system, then that could be addressed. But, I mean, that's, listen, I asked for right of referendum on a lot of things here, but we got to say, okay, Republic, you vote for people and you hope that they go carry the beliefs forward of the people, their constituents, the majority of their constituents, if they don't, they don't get elected.
It would be a good thing to vote on taxes.
It's also not an omnibus.
You know, I don't care what the city council eats for lunch and how many parties they throw or how many gold shovels they buy, but taxes, I think we should vote on that.
Okay. Listen, in spirit, I'm with you, but you're like, it's a kind of a word salad of things going on there. And on the once again, I can tell you, it's not an omnibus bill. That's not because I love the bill or don't love the bill. It's just, it's not an omnibus bill. It's very specific to this tax. There are plenty of plenty of omnibus out there. But this ain't one of them. This is pretty specific. But it is interesting to me, whether I support the gas tax or not, I tell you what, I support the fact that we need to work on infrastructure in the state. I have said over time, out of all the mechanisms possible, one where users bear the freight seems to be right now to be the most logical. But I also have to turn around and ask the question, if this is the right thing for Alabama, people believe in all this, then why do you call this in a special? Because in the special session, you have taken away two of the roadblocks that possibly the BIR and the three-fifths majority to get something passed. You take those out, and you load the weight. You give preference to a yes vote. And that's why we're going to Montgomery. We'll ask folks. So your questions, we'll carry them with us up there when you text them to 343-0106. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Steve Joint joins us next.